because of his rebellion, because of Saul's stubbornness, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Oh boy.
And I had this thought last night, actually, in the wee hours of trying to overcompensate for too many pork chops. I had the thought, I was thinking, if he would reject Saul from being king, Saul was his anointed. And we're on beef the rest of the week, brother. And you okay, man? We just ate too late, because I'm okay. Got a little heartburn, stomach. But I gotta stop now. I can't go any further. I've done tore my wife to pieces. Don't ask me.
They can ask me later.
We don't want to know.
You don't want to know. But I looked at this thing of Saul was God's anointed. And Saul was anointed king over Israel, wanted the king. So God gave him a king. But then he said, because thou hast rejected the word of God, the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king over Israel. Could it be that our rejection of the word of the Lord, God rejects us from things in our life? I'm not saying he's left us or forsook us, because he'll never leave thee, he'll never forsake thee. I'm not saying God turns his back on us, but what I'm saying is there's things that God could appoint us to that we can also be rejected because of our willful disobedience. I'll give you one of those examples, the qualifications of the bishop. If a man does not meet the qualifications of a bishop, yet he holds the office of a bishop, and I don't mean a bishop like a charismatic Pentecostal TV preacher, but a bishop in the lawful office, he that holds doctrine in the house of the Lord, he that maintains the doctrine of the local church, if he's not qualified, he may stay in the office, but it doesn't mean that God hasn't rejected him for being in that office and being the bishop.
Yes, sir.
That's why God gives us instruction how to deal with that. Just because we're saved doesn't mean that God has rejected things in us or positions for us, has rejected us in things because we have rejected him. Brother Zach made a good point. I'm sure he was speaking from experience. I believe Brother Zach, might have been Brother Vernon, about getting your prayers answered. You know, when you've been fussing, fighting, feuding with your wife, and us men go to pray, and we don't have enough character to resolve things with our wife because we're stubborn, we're self-willed, we're too puffed up. And so rather than just say, honey, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, you know, we go to the Lord and you say, well, the Lord rejects us. Well, he doesn't hear us. And so we can be saved, and all God wants is repentance from us. That's all he's looking for, is just repent. Make this thing right, I'll restore to you again. But Saul, because of his disobedience, God rejected him from being... Bible said this. Bible said he found someone better than thou. Mm. That's the word Samuel used. He said there's somebody... Let me see if I can find that verse real quick. Verse 28. The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. Boy, that's hard to swallow, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
How's that for stubborn? Mm. How's that for digging our heels in? I'm God's man. I'm chosen of God. I'm the one God's going to use to usher in revival to Podunk, Knoxville, North Carolina. God's going to use me to be an instrument of... Well, not if God has chosen one better than me. That'll humble a man. Did it humble Saul? No. I don't think it humbled Saul. Because he said the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. Meaning God's rejected you. He's not like, he has rejected you, Saul. And he's not going to change his mind again. Why? Because he's God. He put you up as a king, but he repented the Lord that he had made Saul. The Lord's mind changed concerning Saul. Why? Because of Saul's rejection of the word of the Lord. So because of Saul's rejection, the Lord rejected him from being the king. Now, rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. I don't have time to get into this, but where did Saul go? Not soon after he was rejected being king. We see him years later down at the Witch of Endor practicing witchcraft.
Yes, sir.
Under the supposition of trying to seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have time to get into that, but that's the theme all across this county of religion this morning.
Sir.
practicing witchcraft, call it Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Throw in terror, if you will, trying to call it Christ. Let's see what happens.
Right.
Let's take a chance on this. Let's put the pieces out there, see what God will do. That's not the way God operates. God's never operated that way.
Right.
God operates in truth. God operates on faith. Mm-hmm. If we believe God, we count it as righteousness. Mm-hmm. What are they practicing? They're practicing witchcraft. Let's see what we can call up. Let's drum up a spirit. I mean literally drum up a spirit. Forgive me, I won't go into details because some would probably be offended, but you know, I have shared numerous idiocies with some of you, and probably to my own hurt, but of groups and ministries of people literally trying to drum up the spirit.
Sure.
They have a praise break. The drum starts to beat, and they just started beating the drums and slapping the guitars, and all of a sudden people are dancing the aisles and whooping and leaping, and they call it God. But then I go to the Independent Baptist, you know, the camp, and you see the exact same thing. They're trying to hype it up. They got the guitars playing, the bass guitar slapping. Amen. They got the piano playing the saloon jive. And everybody starts getting emotionally stirred up and begins to emotionally respond. They stir up a spirit.
Sir,
buddy. And they say, this is God. What is it? It's rebellion. It's the sin of witchcraft. And rebellion reigns in churches and in people's lives. And they say, this is God. They've rebelled against the truth. They've rebelled against the reality of what the Word of God says and who God is. And they say, well, this is God. I know, let's have a praise. Let's schedule a praise break and then blame God for it. How silly. That's an independent Baptist candidate. A guy got up and he said, this is Thursday night. He said, this is the night when we shouted out.
Oh boy.
He said, this is the night we rejoice. And I thought, man, I know we scheduled God. I know we had to slate God. You know, let's feign repentance Wednesday, so Thursday we can schedule great rejoicing. And sure enough, within half an hour, they were running the aisle, still lost. They were shouting out, still lost. Most of them still carnal, at minimum. But boy, we met with God. It was talking about, oh, God moved in a mighty way. Nobody got saved. Nobody got right with God. Revival never tarried. What is it? It's a strange spirit. How do you find that strange spirit? It's witchery. It's sorcery. It's like Simon the Sorcerer. He wanted to buy the power of God. And it's not for sale.
Right.
Well, Saul is rebellious. He turns to witchcraft. But then the Bible said that not only is rebellion, sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. If you would, I want to go back to James. I want to look at something. I'm going to really notice something, so just tighten it down a little bit. But help me through this. If it's you, just keep smiling. This verse does not apply to preachers. I want to make it clear that James was a preacher. It does not apply to him. Okay? This only applies to their wives. Got that? With Zach, say amen. With the baby, say amen.
Yep.
James 3:6. Okay. And the tongue is a fire. Say amen, preachers. A world of what?
Iniquity.
Iniquity. Where does iniquity start? It starts in a fire called the tongue. See, a lot of people say, well, I spoke in tongues. Well, but was it a world of iniquity or was it holy? Was it understandable or was it just a world of iniquity? I've seen videos where they have captured the video and they've had language experts study the videos and the people were speaking in another language cursing God under the guise of religion. The tongue is a little member. The Bible said it's set on fire of hell. It's just a small thing that tongue is. It defileth the whole body.
Oh my God.
Set up on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Husband, what's your biggest problem in your home? Let's just be honest. My wife, I know. My wife just cannot bridle her tongue, brother. You say amen, it's okay. Your wife, she's sleeping anyway. That's right, Gracie. Yeah, even shout it out, Gracie. See, even she knows the tongue bad. My wife just will not keep her mouth shut. So I tell her to keep her mouth shut. Come on, bear with me now. No. The tongue is a little member. It boasts great things. I can do all kinds of... And by the way, I say this honestly. I can shred people with my tongue.
Sure.
And boy, does it puff me up.
Oh, yeah.
I can embarrass people with my tongue. I can embarrass myself with my tongue. Well, I can embarrass you. I embarrass myself. The Bible says it's a world of iniquity. Why? Because we don't bridle our tongue. I'm guilty of this just like some of you. I make the statement, well, it just needed said. That's usually my cop out. Somebody needed to say it. And I don't know how many times I've said that, and the Lord just whispered in my ear and said, not you. Somebody needed to say it. Well, let Zach say it. Let Brother Vernon say it. I know, let the heathens on the street say it. Somebody need to point this out, right? Somebody need to run their mouth. Somebody need to just cut somebody apart with their tongue. Oh, we feel so much better. The Bible says it's a world of iniquity. That's why the Bible has so much to say about the tongue and speaking with the tongue. When they spake New Testament doctrine, when they spake with tongues, the apostolic age, I said the apostolic age, before the promise was given in 1 Corinthians 13 that tongues would cease, when they spake, it is for the edification of the church. Is what you say, whether it's in your guarded conversation, in your private conversation, or your open conversation, is it for the edification of the church? Is it for the betterment of the body of Christ? Is it for your own pleasure? Can I be honest? I'm going to confess a fault. I take great pleasure in watching people squirm under the nasty, cynical, vicious malignity that pours out of my mouth. In my flesh, I love it.
Sure.
It's great. I can make people squirm just by speaking. Just being nasty to them. And in 10.5 years in the military, I know how to holler at somebody. I put the fear of God, I was a great bus captain, I put the fear of God in adults, let alone children. Okay, everybody prepare. Everybody hold their ears, hold your children's ears. I give them that bus and the two little kids be fighting the back of the bus. How's that all back there? How's it coming back there right now? It's pretty scary, isn't it? Gracie, she laughs. She hears that so much. She thinks it's funny.
Common.
She's like, I'm home. What is it? It's speaking. It's just, it's words. It's all it is. But it's when you use your voice for to have an effect, use your voice to have a reaction. And by the way, that can work for good or bad. Most of the time they stop fighting. I actually had one jump out the emergency exit in the back of the bus when it stopped. I'm not exaggerating. But you know, I do the same thing for evil. I can use that same tone inflection, that same strength of my voice for evil. To spread gossip. But you know, it's not always going to be that vocal, loud, put the fear of God through my voice. It's going to be that little whisper. But I'll talk about malignant whisperers. Why? Because they're putting seeds, cancerous seeds that grow in people's minds and their heart. I'll tell you how bad it is. I pull you aside. I whisper. They know me, it's okay. Yeah. I think Zach beats Amber. And we all laugh. And I go, no, I'm serious. And I walk away. And what's planted in your mind? A seed.
Right.
That's wicked, buddy.
Sir.
You know why? Because people don't have to tell the truth. All they got to do is hint about the seed. All they got to do is just drop a little bit of a hint. Yeah, I don't think she likes boys. I think she likes girls. What's happened? It's a seed planted. It's malignant. It's a whisper. It cuts. It grows. It fosters in people's lives and hearts. I've had people try to drive wedges between me and other preachers, sowing discord, planting seeds by whispering. Well, you know so-and-so, and then they go on and whisper. Malignant seeds. What's the purpose of that? Why wouldn't you bridle your tongue? I'll tell you why, because most people have the ability to bridle their tongue, because they don't have the Spirit of God to help them bridle their tongue. Because the Bible said, the tongue no man can tame. You can't tame your tongue. It's a world of iniquity. You know, I can't remember a clean joke. If I do, it's not funny. You know what's in my mind is all that rancid, filthy, racist jokes, perverse jokes, and all those things. And I have to block them out of my mind. Lord, keep these things out of my mind. And God, help me to not let them ever leave my tongue. Lord, help this filth to never spew out of my mouth. If it comes out of my mouth, it's because it's in my heart. But if it's in my mind, I can control it with the tongue with the Lord's help. But when it's in the heart, it'll spew out. You know why people can't bridle their tongues? They don't know the Lord.
It's good.
I can't put a bridle on my tongue. I can be as acidic and vicious. I mean, I can just be absolutely just horrendous with my tongue. But the Lord can tame it. The Lord can tame your tongue. It's a world of iniquity. Everything we say can be taken wrong, twisted, turned. Everything we say. And that's not our fault. But it's when we mean it malicious, and we mean it to hurt, and we mean it to mark, and we mean it to scar, and we mean it to cut like a knife. That's when you find out your tongue is a world of iniquity. You say, how does that tie in with stubbornness? Well, stubbornness is iniquity. The tongue is a world of iniquity. How do the two tie together? Because you refuse to bridle your tongue. You refuse to shut up. You refuse to let God to close your mouth. You're just going to tell it like it is. You ever hear that from somebody? I heard preachers say that. I'm just going to tell it like it is. There's some things don't need told.
All right.
I got some tremendous stories in my own mind. We all do. I'm not a very good storyteller. But in my own mind, my stories are all tremendous. They're all hilarious. Everybody laughs. I mean, I'm a great storyteller. I'm a great speaker. Therefore, I want everybody to listen to me. You're doing okay. Hey, silence! Tim McVeigh's going to tell a story. Everybody listen to me. You know people like that. And some people are genuinely funny. Some people I love to listen to tell a story. Bill Travis is one of them. Mm-hmm. He's just one of the funniest men I know. I don't even know if he's trying to be funny. He's just a funny guy. Hey, listen to me. I'm going to tell a story now. Hey, pay attention to me. I got something I want to say. Hey, look at me. I'm going to cut you up because I'm a vicious, vicious, nasty person. And then do it publicly. Do it privately. It doesn't matter. The tongue's a world of iniquity because we are stubborn about putting a bridle on. Why? Because we're rebellious at heart. We think what we have to say, and I'm not talking about scripture, I'm not talking about the authority of the Word of God. Just in our day-to-day life, we have more important things to say than anybody else around us, and we will be heard. Whether or not we wound people, hurt people, destroy people, our acidic, wicked, nasty tongue will cut people to shreds. And we won't blink an eye about it.
Right.
You know why? Because we're full of iniquity. Stubbornness is his iniquity. And the Bible goes on and says it's idolatry. Mm-hmm. The Bible said in Matthew 23, I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but the Bible said that the scribes and the Pharisees had iniquity in their hearts. Why? Because they loved the long robes, they loved the speeches in the marketplace, they loved to be seen of men. Why? Because they were full of iniquity. They wanted to be heard, they wanted to be seen, they were self-righteous, they had iniquity in their hearts. Why is it? Because they're stubborn! I'm not going to heed God's word. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to use my mouth to cover up and hide the fact that I don't listen to God. I'll talk my way into salvation. Job said, I'll lay my hand upon my mouth. And I'll speak no more. Can I say this? And I know some of you have been involved in this, but I'm just telling you the truth from the word of God. And I'm telling you right now, there are people that will tell me to my face, I'm saved. I'll say, well, when did you get saved? I'll say, well, such a day I spake in tongues. And I tell every one of them the same thing if it comes to my mind. Job said when he came in contact with God, I will speak no more. He didn't talk. He was silent.
I believe it, buddy.
Romans 3, verse 14, Brother Zach. That every mouth may be stopped.
Sir.
And the whole world become guilty before God. What does that say? I'm not going to talk anymore. Lord, you're right and I'm wrong.
Oh boy.
That's right.
Lord, you're holy and I'm unholy. What can I say to excuse myself to God? Well, Lord, I know I'm bitter and full of hate. I'm stubborn and rebellious, but you know, I had such a rough childhood. Go to Calvary. It pales to Calvary.
Oh my.
You know, I didn't have a good upbringing. It pales to Calvary. I was raised in the ghetto. I didn't have a chance at life. You know, my parents left me. I was raised in foster care. I was abused. I was molested. I was neglected. I was hated. I was despised. The Bible says he was rejected. He was despised of men.
Right.
And the Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of peace upon him. By stripes, we're healed. What's a wound? It's an open sore. It's blood. What's a bruise? It's a contusion where blood bursts under the skin. Am I correct there? If I'm wrong, you speak up. But blood spreads under the skin. It doesn't come out. It's under the surface. It's still blood. There's stripes or there's welts. That blood pulls up in that stripe. It might leak out. It's not an open wound. It's not a bruise. It's a stripe. But three times we see the blood.
Mm-hmm.
For our transgressions. For our iniquities. And for our healing. Mm-hmm. Spiritually. Oh, but it's so terrible. I was hopeless when I was 14. I worked my way to the top and they fired me and I lost my job and I lost my family and I lost my income and oh, my life's been terrible. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. But his stripes were healed.
Thank God.
How can we speak in the face of the blood that was shed for us? Lord, you know I'm a good person. And I say spiritually, he hangs his head. He said, I didn't die for good people. I die for sinners. But Lord, you know I didn't find many wonderful works. I didn't die for your wonderful works, I died for you. I prophesied in your name. He said, I didn't come that you might prophesy. I came to die that you might live. Everybody has a motive, everybody has a reason. That's why the tongue is a world of iniquity. It's because people can't keep their mouth shut. Pride and fools shall fall. Proverbs 10:10. Why? Because they can't keep their mouth shut. They're going to try to talk their way into heaven. And by the way, you can fool me all day.
Right.
You can fool that man all day. You haven't fooled God. You know why he put these verses in here in James? That it's a world of iniquity? That if nothing else touches your cold, dead heart about how full of iniquity you are, if you finally see what your tongue is doing, you might see the fact that you're a sinner.
Whew.
Oh, Tanya Spencer. Most of you know Tanya. I'm not speaking out of turn. Tanya told her. I believe it was last week, told Sister Ruth Ann. So I can't believe all the stuff I've said to hurt people. God was dealing with her in the car on that Thursday night. She said that. She said over and over, I would say all the things I've said and done to hurt people. That was her conviction. That's what God laid on her. I'm not being mean. I love that lady. I know some of you love her. Some of you struggled loving her for years. That's a hard woman to love right there, buddy. You know what Tanya said?
God showed me what a mean and awful, nasty, I'm not putting words in her mouth, person I was. And I did say was.
Scott.
I believe, according to your own testimony, according to the word I've heard from others testifying, she put her hand upon her mouth and stopped talking. And there's some people that would be a miracle if they ever stopped talking. You know, a lot of us need, we know our tongue is a world of iniquity. Neither fornicators. Well, I'm saved. Or liars. Oh, I'm saved. Or adulterers. I'm saved. Drunkards. I'm saved. Revilers. I'm saved. I go on down the list. Idolaters. Oh, I'm saved, preacher. I'm not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, preacher, I'm saved. You know what you need to do? Put your hand upon your mouth.
Good.
Speak no more. That God can reveal to us what we truly are without us interfering. Time and time again, the Lord tries to show people they're lost. What's the first thing they do? They open their mouth. That's how you know you've been saved, by the way. Because the fruit of the Spirit starts to bear witness in your life. You come to that meekness, and all of a sudden you don't have to defend yourself. It's one of the things my wife and I go through all the time. I say, honey, you don't have to defend yourself if you're right. You know, we defend ourselves when we're wrong. You doing okay? We have it. Good meal, good ham. Maybe good sides. Hallelujah. Great cake. Thank God for it. Amen. If I never ate again, I'd be glad I ate today. People say, well, I'm saved, love the Lord. The Bible's going to show you that maybe you need something else.
Amen.
But we can justify it and explain it away every time. When the fruit of the meek, fruit of the Spirit comes, and all of a sudden meekness enters, and all of a sudden we realize we don't have to defend ourselves anymore. I said years ago, when I was under a pretty heavy attack from several places, and I finally just told, Brother Zach at different times, and I'd known my wife and we weren't married yet, but and during that time I just said, there's times it seems like, you know, I need to defend myself, but I realized that it's not what they lie about that hurts me, it's when they tell the truth. Do you know my goal is in life? To get to a place where they have to lie about me. You doing all right? To speak evil of me, I hope you'd have to lie. Let's go back to the tongue a minute. You know, if I keep my mouth shut, I'll probably be able to do that. If it's when I close my mouth, you probably won't be able to speak much evil of me. But you can always go back to when I was mean, crude, rude, ignorant, a jerk. And that's just from the pulpit. Imagine my private life. I'm not boasting of that. I'm just telling you the truth. See, when people lie about me, it doesn't affect me. It doesn't faze me. It's when they tell the truth that I feel like I've got to defend myself. That's when all that meekness starts to wane away real quick. You know, I heard Brother McVeigh, I heard he steals from the offering plate. He pockets the offering and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I've heard it all. I heard Brother McVeigh's running around with women. Brother McVeigh has a girlfriend. I mean, I just hear all that junk. I've heard it for years about every preacher I know. And I just, it's water off a duck's back. But somebody goes, you know, Brother McVeigh is so mean to his wife. And all of a sudden I have to defend myself. You're a liar, jerk! What's wrong with you? If I wouldn't mean my wife, I wouldn't face me. I just go blah, 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 blah. Honey, I'm not too mean, am I? And once in a while. Okay. That wasn't very convincing. Sorry, folks. I was trying to get that illustration. Girl lives in that home, she's going to laugh at me and my wife. Unbearable. I told you it's a world of iniquity. That's a good illustration. You see, we want to defend ourselves. We want to try to defend what we're doing, how we're living. What we want to always speak up for ourselves. And if God's on our side, if he's before us, who can be against us? The problem is, it goes back to this thing with Saul. Saul rejected him from being king. There's some things, I believe the Lord just rejected some things. We've all concluded in our prayers a lot of times. We want to go pray. We want God to bail us out. And he's not there to listen, not because he's left us and forsook us, but because we forsook him. He said, when you forsook the word of the Lord, Saul, you forsook the word of the Lord. Therefore, I forsook thee from being king. tongue's iniquity. It's iniquitous. It's a world of iniquity. Therefore, we bridle our tongue. We stop our tongue. We put it in subjection to the Word of God. What's hard to do, isn't it? Because he said to speak no evil. Speak not evil of dignities. He said the pride of fools shall fall. It's going to be a great fall for those that can't stop talking. I mean, it's a terrible thing. And by the way, you don't have to talk with your lips today to destroy people. You can talk with your thumbs, or you can talk with your fingertips. And you'll do just as much damage as what came out of your lips. It's still a world of iniquity. It doesn't have to be said with your lips for you to say it. It can be said with your body language. And it's still a world of iniquity.
Sir.
I watch most women today, they've learned off television, they watch too much TV, and they learn how to control people with body language. It's my body language. You see young people do that to their parents. My lips have been so swollen I couldn't have blown air for months. I had done that to my mom. I'm just telling the truth. My mom wasn't a mean person. She tried to get us to control our tongues, but my sister and I were vile. I had a wicked mouth. Vile mouth. I remember the first time I swore. You know why? I was raised in church my whole life and taught that swearing was evil. In eighth grade, I've been in public school for about a month, month and a half, and it finally got the best of me. Did you all knee each other in high school? You know, run down the hall trying to knee them in the thigh muscle, try to, you know, people, they don't understand that. You know, I guess you get arrested for, I'd probably get arrested for 30 days or something if you did that today. We did worse than that. That was a mild thing.
Yeah, it was easy.
This boy kneed me in the ramp. I just about buckled, went under. I called him. I mean, a bleedy, bleedy, bleeder. Boy, my heart just melted. I mean, it just smoked me. And I remember I was in 10th grade, first time I took the Lord's name in vain. See, I pushed that boundary.
Sure.
God didn't kill me. So it was my 10th grade, I took the Lord's name in vain. I walked out of tank top and shorts. You can imagine me in 10th grade, how good I looked in that. About as good as I would now. Walked out of tank top and shorts, Mr. Cool. It's about 35 degrees out of softball field. I didn't know that. I walked out the door, that cold blast hit me. I took the Lord's name in vain. The Lord didn't kill me. So it got worse and worse and worse and worse. And finally, I was one of those six-word cussers. If I made it six words, it was a miracle, or my mom was there, one of the two. When I got saved, I told man at work, I got saved. And he just laughed, basically alluded to my cussing, wanted to know if I was going to be able to stop. He said, if you're a Christian, how do you stop cussing?
Oh, boy.
I just said, I don't know. And I'll be honest, I don't know.
Right.
It had been the grace of God. One thing I had to get away from people to cuss, it didn't come back out of my mouth, because I was just repeating what I heard. Some of your children understand that. But God cleaned up my mouth. God took the cussing out of my mouth. God changed the way I spoke.
Sir.
It took God to do that, because my tongue was a world of iniquity. Listen. Every dirty joke, every filthy speaking, anything I could say to defile myself and defile you, I could say it out of my mouth. God changed the way I speak. I want to go a lot further than that today, but I think we're going to rest there. The tongue is a world of iniquity. Stubbornness says iniquity and idolatry. You say, what does that tie with the tongue? Because you're stubborn that you won't stop talking. I don't want to point her out. Lord knows I don't. But you all know Tanya. Love Tanya. I know Tanya. She never stopped testifying about how the Lord saved her. And this week, the Lord really saved me. Brother John, would you baptize me again? I really got saved. I'm not mocking. Lord knows, please. I'll call on the phone to tell him I'm not mocking. That lady knows us. She's our friend. Oh, you just want to say, stop talking for a minute. Listen to God. Stop talking. Stop explaining. Stop trying to tell me how you got saved. Prove you got saved. Stubbornness. Stubbornness. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep plugging, keep pushing. Hey, I'm going to run through this door, Brother Vernon. I thought there was a door there. I surely doesn't. I told you to put a door here. God saved me. I know He saved me. You have no peace, no joy. Keep telling everybody, trying to convince yourself you're saved. What's the Spirit of God say? What's the Word of God say? What's that traveling fool fall? Why does he fall? He can't stop talking. David the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And I love what he said next. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Do people pray that today? Most people I hear pray, so with Lord, you know there's no wicked way in me. There's a man I know, I consider a friend, I heard him pray with me. I said, Lord, you know there's no sin between me and you. And I thought, my goodness, I'm glad. I wish I could pray that. I wish I could pray, Lord, I know there's no sin. But Lord, I had to say, Lord, show me what's wrong with Tim McVeigh. Show me why Tim McVeigh's not right. Show me why I can't give an answer to prayer. Show me why I don't have my joy. Show me what's wrong in my life. Do you think the Lord points to other people? Says, there's what's wrong.
No.
Tim, it's your wife. She's dragging you down. I'll teach her. Wicked woman. You know, the Bible says, love your wife and be not bitter against her. Because you get bitter because you blame her for everything. Not you personally, but in general. You blame her for everything. I like how I tell my wife, I'm the head of the home. I bear the responsibility of this home until something goes wrong. Then it's, and am I telling the truth, honey? You can tell your man. And then it's her wicked self that's messed everything up. When things are going good, I'm the head of the home. Praise God, God's blessing this home because I'm the head. Amen, I've run this house well. God has blessed us. I'm a good husband. As soon as things are messed up, that wicked woman. Yeah. Lord, please don't kill my wife. You know how wicked she is. You know I've tried to change her. I know we don't really pray that. We just think it, right? Man, we say it, man. You're okay. Steve's not here. We'll give the tapes to Holly. V8 or 8-track V8. We don't 8-track tape. Jim Stetcher's going to get a copy, too. When's the last time you just asked the Lord, Lord, show me my heart and see if there'd be any wicked way in me?
It's good.
Lord, what's wrong with me? Why can't I stop talking? Why can't I be quiet? Brother Zach, there's churches we've talked, and I'm not trying to be mean, but there's some churches you and I both are familiar with. You ever notice everybody just talks during service? I mean, it's like being a church of children. And bear with me on this, but it's not only conversations between people. I always talk about whispering, talking to each other. Come on, preacher, amen. Come on, preacher. Yeah, now, preacher now. Come on now, preacher. Amen. Call. Amen. That's good. Preacher, glory to God. Amen. Hey, man, preacher, you know what? Because I'm not listening. They're not listening. Why do I have to listen if I'm disagreeing with everything? I'm so spiritual, I'm disagreeing with everything. I'd rather you sit there mad and show it than be a hypocrite. That's good, preacher. That's good. Well, you helping me, preacher. Hey, man, you helping me now. I'm like, no, I'm not helping you. You can't keep your mouth shut. If I was helping, your mouth would shut. Although I don't get many meetings. You think a preacher like me, I'd be booked solid on Zach. I'll tell you why. I don't just say this here. You can ask my wife to say this about anywhere I preach. Because I've watched people talking their way into hell. And until we learn to shut our mouths, God is not going to make a difference in our lives. Our tongue is a world of iniquity. Take the responsibility. Accept the responsibility. Ladies, I'm going to turn on you for a minute. I just can't get my husband to do anything. Well, why don't you learn how to pray? He's such an awful husband. Why don't you learn how to pray? That man I told you earlier, his wife left him. They came to me for counsel. I was their pastor. They came together to be real careful. That's why I was real careful. But they just said, you know, we're having some trouble. What should we do? What should we do? I'll tell you exactly what I told her. I said, sister, you better pray for your husband. She stayed with him through a liver transplant. She stayed with him through a kidney transplant. She stayed with him through two heart attacks. I mean, he died on the operating table. He died later on in the hospital room. He was toxic. His blood levels were tight. He's out of his mind. When I visited him, she's sitting behind the bed weeping and crying. I don't know what to do. He's out of his mind. 3-4 years down the road, they finally pull out of it. She ups and she leaves. If I had to ask her one thing, I'd look her in the eye and say, how much did you pray for him? Or did you just talk to him? Why would a lady go down the road and talk to the Jezebels at work and the Jezebels at the quilting club and the Jezebel at the corn cob throwing contest and the Jezebels at the store? Why would you go to the hairdresser and get advice about your husband when the God of heaven is a God that answers prayer? Why would you talk to somebody else about your husband? You watch your tongue's a world of iniquity, that's why.
Mama, I don't know what to do.
I tell you what, they had a good mama. I tell you what, mama would say, why don't you pray? Elijah shut up the heavens and it rained not for all those years. And he was a man like pastors, just like you and me. Don't you think, lady, you could pray?
I don't like my parents.
Won't you pray for them?
I'm so mistreated in life. I don't have a TV in my room.
Thank God.
Well, Albert Hart was 78, 79 years old. He was preaching out there in Arkansas. And he was preaching on 10 things every young person needs in their life. And it turned into one of those Herbert Williamson type messages. 10 things every child doesn't need in their life. We're doing okay. Brother Harden stands up there, 78, 79 years old, points that 2-foot-long finger across that pulpit. Says, young lady, you don't need a boyfriend. Young man, you don't need a girlfriend. And I watch them young people start to laugh and mock and make fun of that old man. And then he said this. He said, a young person does not need a telephone in their room. And they're all dying laughing. They all got cell phones. You know, they're just dying. His old guy, he doesn't know what he's talking about. They're laughing, making fun of him. He said, a young person does not need a television in their home, parents. You know, the kid, they're back there laughing, cutting up, elbowing each other. You know what he said? He said, young parents, or young people, they don't need meddling grandparents either. And all of a sudden, those teenagers got real serious. They started cutting their eyes. I was watching them. They started cutting their eyes at each other, elbowing each other. They knew what the problem was.
Good.
But you know what he said? He said, you know what young people do need? They need a mom and dad that will pray. And pray with them. And we need young people to learn how to pray. But those same young people that sat there and cut up and made fun of that old man for preaching against a telephone. And, you know, I know Brother Hart. I mean, he's not even thinking a rotary phone. He's thinking one of those deals on the wall that you put up to your ear and you dial the operator, Moxville 242, you know. I mean, that's what he's thinking. They're making fun. Every one of them that crosses my mind is out of church today on their way to hell.
Right.
You know why? It's when the man of God stood to warn them, they couldn't shut their mouth. Be real careful what I say to other people. God's trying to work this week. He wants to do work this week. And I believe it's not going to start. We're quiet. Search me, O God. Know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. The average person. Amen, Brother Tim. Amen, Brother Tim. Oh, that's good. Amen, preacher. Amen, preacher. About 1 out of 10. They love 90% of what you preach. It's just that one thing they can't get over, they get hung up on. Why would he say that? I thought, why don't you ask the Lord if it was the Lord? Why don't you look past the man and say, Lord, is that you trying to speak to me? Can we do that? One thing. I know they'll do it for Zach, because he's young, they'll listen to anything he says. You don't tell the truth.
I remember I held little Zacky on my knee and bounced him around. He was such a cute little baby. I remember little Zacky.
Better shut up and listen to what Zacky has to say.
Brother Vernon was mean to me.
Better shut up and listen to what he has to say. He is mean. That's why he's my friend. Better listen to what he has to say. Wives, you might want to listen to what your husband has to say time to time. Husbands, you might want to shut your mouth. Just listen. My wife's had, you know, physical problems because of her two miscarriages she's had. And one of you men, you tell me how to cope with that as a husband. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't understand. But I'm trying to teach myself just to listen. Because she knows her husband can't fix it. She knows by now it's going to take God. There's nothing I can do. So I'm going to try to listen. What is she really saying? I picked up the other day what she's really trying to say is, honey, I'm having trouble believing God in this. I'm having trouble trusting. I settled down. In my own stupid way, I told her to be vase and to trust God. We're not going back to the doctor. We're not going back to the hospital. We're going to pray and we're going to believe God. And I was actually proud of myself. You know why? Because I listened to my wife. And I was proud of her because I think she listened to me. Now if the two of us could just get together and listen to God, it'd be all right. But we gotta stop talking. Stuck. So stubborn. I'll fix it. Some dude winks at her in the mall, I can fix that. I'll fix that quick. What's going on inside? I can't. God can. So the problems in your home, man, you can't fix. God can. It seems like someone say, I can't fix these children. Can't get them to listen. Can't get them to sit still. Can't get them. God can. You just gotta be quiet. You're being stubborn. I had a plumber come to the house, Brother David. He went up underneath that tub upstairs, in that little space. He's a small guy. I mean, I couldn't be a plumber. Good night. I mean, I wouldn't fit in a third of the places they go. He cuts out a pipe underneath there that had been dripping slightly. He's replaced the whole piece of pipe and everything else, but it's not going to get a faucet. He pulls that pipe out. He holds it up. He said, you slept with this under there? And I mean, here's this green, about this big around, it was this big, piece of copper, it's all swollen up. The only thing holding it together, brother, was a piece of rubber hose and a clamp. And then all the copper, the green, it corroded and leached. It was actually formed a bond, was holding the pipe together. I'm not exaggerating. He said, you slept with this under there? I said, sir, I said, I messed with it years ago, and I said, I just made a mess of it, so I stopped, and that's what I got left. And he just said, next time, don't touch it. Pretty life lesson, isn't it? I've messed with it. Brother, I welded, I soldered, I cut. My good friend, I called a friend to help me. Here's a good illustration. I said, you ever work with copper? Yeah. You know how to do copper pipe? Yeah. Can you get in there and cut that? And we'll put a welding cloth up there and you can solder that in. Yeah, I got it. I said, how's it going here? I think it's doing good. About 10 seconds later, a blood-curdling scream from the kitchen. Honey! Turn the water off! I had to crawl down the basement, get my little hook, shoot across the basement, turn the water off the whole house. The whole kitchen's flooded. I said, I thought you fixed it. He goes, well, let me try it again. I got it. Turn the water on. in the pipe, you hear the water. Turn the water off! Turn the water off again. Hey! Sir, I know you're busy. I know you're a plumber. Can you come to my house? We can't shower. We can't do anything. It didn't destroy the house, but it was close.
We still got, well, don't worry. There's all kinds of water stains and broken plaster. Why didn't you call the plumber the first time, Tim? Why didn't I call the plumber?
That's right.
Because I know how to fix it. I got this. I didn't have a clue how to fix it. I just thought I did. I could fix this. It's just a piece of copper pipe. The guy pulled the copper pipe out, by the way. It looked straight to me. He pulled it out, it went going around those 2x4s up through the wall. They heated and bent that thing, wound it up around to the 2x4s. Oh yeah, I would have fixed that all right. Do you think I learned a life lesson? I'll fix this. I'll fix this. I'm stubborn. Hey, listen, my family's falling apart. I'll fix this. When I was young, even dumber than I am now, brother, I got in that credit card debt. You know, they suckered me at 19 years old, and they sent me every offer under the sun. And I did that thing where I juggled credit cards. Like, they'd give me $3,000 credit limit, no APR for 6.5 months. I'd switch everything over to that card, wouldn't have to pay any interest, you know. Then I'd get another card and no interest for a year. And next thing I know, I'm 22 years old. I'm $6,000 in credit card debt. But I had a new computer. That was a good thing. That was back when computers were like $2,300 for a printer or a monitor computer. Boy, that really helped me. I spent $2,300 on how to play Doom. Brilliant. But you know what I did? I kept kicking that thing, saying, it'll fix itself. I'll get out of this. It'll just give me some time. I'll get out of this. And I walked in. I had to humble myself to do this back then. Now, you know, when you go to Kohl's and buy $800 with a shirt at one set, there's no pride left. I'm just telling you. They look at you like you're an idiot. I mean, mine's cussing you. There's no pride left. And I walked into Staples. I said, I need a job. They said, okay, well, let's interview you. They gave me a part-time job for 2 years. I worked a part-time job to get out of debt. But you know what the first step was? I had to realize that I wasn't going to fix this thing. What your step's going to be? You can't fix it. I can't fix her. I can just make her think I'm fixing her. Right, honey? Come up here. You make her laugh and come up here. I'm going to embarrass you. Hurry up. She can't say no in front of you all. That'll be tomorrow night's message. Come up here. You're not going to preach. Just that's a relief if you did. You know how we started getting along? I mean getting along in our marriage. She started doing everything I told her to do. Right? What was it then? It's when I started telling her, she started doing her best to listen. But when I started telling her, I tried to seek the Lord about what to tell her.
Sir, buddy.
Because, buddy, I'd break it bad. But God can fix it. God can put it together. But when I'm stubborn, I just kick against it, kick against it, kick against it. It's never going to get fixed. We're not perfect. Don't think anybody's perfect. My wife's a mess. I mean, she's a mess. She's got a good husband, but she's a mess. But God's helping us. God's bringing us through. We've been married 3.5 years. Her daddy's died. Step-grandmother died. We've lost 2 babies. And there's still joy in our home. Our house is a place of rest.
Good, buddy.
And it's not because of us. Please don't think that. That's where we learn how to shut our mouths. Thank you.
Thank God. Laverne? I'm done. I'm not saying we're the perfect example. But if there's anything good in our relationship, I want you to know it's him.
Right.
Amen. It's just him.
Carry on, but I do want to read this because it just keeps standing on my mind. I don't need to say anything, but I just want to read the Bible, and I don't think you can go wrong by reading the Bible. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge. I want you just to understand, I want you to listen just for a second, and all that's going on, just in a very brief second, I want you to just let it brush through your mind, everything that's going on through these scriptures. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed. Now the earth's been removed. That's an awful lot, isn't it? That's a lot going on right there. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That's an awful lot.
Yeah.
Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof it shall be glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God, that's a lot. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. It don't mean one thing. This is, listen to what God said. The very next thing absolutely amazed me, Michael, out of everything that's going on here. I want you to understand, people still ain't getting it. Look at the very next thing out of his mouth. He said, be still. Be still. Just be still. I've done all this stuff, and you still don't know. All this stuff, and you still don't know. He said over there in Isaiah, he said, what more could I do than what I've already done? Done everything in the world, and you don't even know. Just be still. Be still. Just be still. I'm going to use a worldly illustration. There's a guy that comes on one of them news stations. Don't know which one it is. I think his name is Marcus something another. And they call him the prophet. P-R-O-F-I-T, prophet. And he walks into these struggling businesses where these people have failed, they flopped, they're absolutely going under, they owe everything, they've invested everything, and they cannot see the light of day. This guy walks in there, he starts assessing this business, he makes investments in the business. He gets his team to work on it. They figure out how to turn this thing around, how to start making a profit out of this business, and he will do just exactly that. I've seen him do it before. I've seen him walk in these struggling businesses, and there at the same time when he's turned, this is a man that's successful, that supposedly he's made millions, he's turned all kind of little tricks into big money things. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there are them people that were struggling, they're still over there fighting him. They're still sitting over arguing with him. He's trying to restructure the business and they're arguing with him. I want to reach inside of that stupid television and pull him out by the throat and say, shut up! Shut up! You're a failure! You've lost it! You've let everything sink! And here's somebody who's trying to help you and you want to run your mouth. I don't understand. You know what I think? I think you fool! What a fool you are to be in that condition.
Right.
And even open your mouth for God's sake, for your sake, for
what we need. God knows what we need. Yes, sir, buddy. God knows what we need. I tell you, do us good just to, I like that. Something don't sound right. Something don't taste right. Oh, just be still. Be still. And let God figure that thing out. Work it out for you. God knows. God knows. Brother McVeigh, I thought seriously, and I'm done. I thought seriously while you and your wife were standing up here. I didn't know how to do it. I don't know how to do things. But I thought seriously about getting my wife and us standing up here with y'all. And I don't know how to explain it. Other than just letting God do some things in our life.
That's right. Exactly.
Just let, you, what made a difference in my home? Letting God. What messes my home up? I mean, man, just nail me. I told my wife last night, I said, honey, I like to blame most of this stuff on the devil, but the truth of it is, it's me. It's just me. It's just me. I ought to just get out of the way. I ought to just shut up and just be still. Just let God. Man, I don't want to say anything. I don't want to mess nothing up. Just be still. Let the Lord just hush. Shh. Any more comment because I want to be still, be quiet. My grandpa, he was real nice the first time. But when he wanted you to shut up, he'd say, hey, be still. And that was about as nice as anything you ever going to get out of him. Be still. And then on, it wasn't good. Be still. Father, we thank you for this day. God, I pray that you'd help us to find a place, God, where we can just be still. In that stillness, God, just know who you are. And God, what you're doing, what you're wanting to do. And God, here's the thing. Just take God at his word. Just be still and take God. Be quiet and take God at his word. As he said in the first service, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I pray, oh God, that you'd help us, Lord, this day. Find out where we stand with you, dear God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. God, I do believe with all my heart that you're trying to do something here. I felt, God, I believe the presence of God move in on this service. And I pray, God, that you'd not let us do anything to grieve or quench the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, oh, blessed God, to be obedient. Help us, dear God, today, Lord. Help us, dear God, the rest of this week. Pray, God, that you'd protect the mind of the man of God. And God, to give him the message, give him, God, the thoughts, Lord, to share. Pray, God, that you'd lay heavy on his heart, dear God, and make it plain, make it clear. Thank you, God, for everybody that's met with us today. And I pray, God, that you'd bless each and every home. I pray, God, that you'd see everybody back and forth safe all week. Dear God, make it easy for them. God, I pray that you'd give them rest, dear Lord. I pray, blessed God, that you'd do what nobody else could do. Lord, that you'd touch every heart, dear God, every life. Help us, oh God. Walk away from this thing. Magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let other people see what God's done. I like the testimony, God. Lord, the man said he's going to have to cuss. And God, what a blessing that is for people around you to see, God, how you can change our vocabulary. We want to thank you for it, God. Lord, we pray that you'd do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Look, Bernie. Real quick, my wife has got a bunch of new skirts. They're $5. I wish you ladies would, because if you need skirts, they're long, they're modest, you buy the right size. And some are a little bit more, mostly like $5. And I also have some genuine pleather belts, too, because you may need a belt. I got, so just one thing, we give some of the cost, they're dirt cheap. We just want to be a blessing to people.
Man,
it's
good. Time to be a blessing.
Another thing, you see my wife, even if you don't buy a skirt, you see her, you can come and get one. To make it feel better.